Yeah. Here's a little film, 2 minutes film about what happened the first year when we sent in the aid and we were able to facilitate. It's just a short film and it's from the town of Volgograd. You can see how God provides, and our interpreter, the first week when the war started, she went together with her husband, which was called back to the military. They went into a farm where there was nothing. I'm saying nothing. No water, no electricity, no beds, nothing. But because she was there, and she had some money, she prepared food for 100 soldiers for 1 week, and then they left. And after a week, she spent all her fortune. It was all gone. So what do you do? The Lord said to her, in a small voice, go to Volgograd, which is very close to Moldova and very close to Romania. Go there. And this is the film that is showing what happened after the first year in Volgograd, okay? So that was the first miracle. There was many miracles taking place. The second miracle was here, that churches that had never spoken together, they just knew that down the road there was a Baptist church or there was a Charismatic church. They were now joining here. And this is from May this year, where we gathered all these churches coming together. Charismatics, Pentecostals, and Baptist churches coming together. That's a miracle. It might be a miracle here also. In Denmark, it's the same. It's a miracle when churches come together. And you just have this little film here where they come in and they thank. They thank us for the aid. We're just really the facilitator, but they just thank.
This week's time. Yeah.
So miracle takes place, mm-hmm. and our interpreter, she didn't know what to do, what God has provided in mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. And when you are there, when you are there in the churches, here we are praying. There's a tremendous unity in the country about that God will intervene, that justice will take place. They just believe it. It's just going to happen. Yeah. Right. So today I'm going to share a word which is from Isaiah chapter 42. It's from the NIV here. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. Yeah, a little about Isaiah. He's speaking about the servant of the Lord in these chapters here in Isaiah. And you're wondering, who is this servant? He's speaking about a servant coming to rescue Israel and to restore Israel. The most famous one is from Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He's talking about Jesus coming to Israel. And then we come to chapter 42, and there's a song of praise to the Lord. It's a chapter, it's a 6 verses talking about the redemption of Israel. That this servant will come and make a new path, will make salvation. Yeah. So, what kind of blindness is the prophet speaking about here? There are different kind of blindness. Obviously, the ones that cannot see, well, of course, they're blind, you know, they can't do anything about it. So, but we got different kind of blindnesses. And there are those who can see, but they turn the blind eye on. They know things are right, but they just turn the blind out. So they know what is right. Here's one scripture about the Israelites. The priest did not ask, where's the Lord? Those who deal with the Lord did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, followed worthless idols. Yeah. So, then you have other kind of blindness. I'm just taking some cues here. A family, close family member wrote this on Facebook. It's never good to be depressed. Again, the sun helps me a little, but I can't see it. You have people living in depression. They can't see. They can see, but they can't see. Because your world is so blind. Everything is dark. It's very, very difficult to be depressed. And then you have another thing. It's called blind spots. And according to what you learned, there are 10% in yourself you cannot see. The areas that are blindfolded to yourself is about 10%. So that's why you need friends to tell you that you've got some blind spots. And I learned a lesson from a close friend, and I think he waited at least 1 year. And then certainly he was kind of pointing to me that I had a problem. I had a problem that I did not see myself. And it went something like this. People would come to me from the church and they would tell me something. They had a challenge or they had a problem. And when I heard people speaking to me about that, in myself, I thought to myself, that's not a problem. How in the world? I didn't see it as a problem, you know. What's the problem? But I never said it. But of course, people felt that I just listened to them, and in fact, I ignored, and I didn't take it seriously. So that's why people were put off. They came to me, but he doesn't do anything about it, you know. So that was a lesson for me. And until this day, in some areas, I have to keep very, very serious when people come to me, because I still don't think that there is a problem. But I'm trying to be very serious and take it very seriously, because it is a problem for them. So it can be difficult to understand what's it all about. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just in the small areas, yeah. So we're coming now. What is this blindness about? Well, the story here, the parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector, is a good example of what this could be. The Pharisee saw himself in a very, very clear light. I can see the way, I control my life, everything is fine. And the person behind me, why can he not see? So, here is the story. Let me just read it. The parable: to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went out to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one the tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Yes. The Pharisee was absolutely, he just knew that the tax collector, he just said, I'm very happy I'm not like you. But Jesus warns us about self-righteousness. For the kingdom of God is not something we can achieve by our own efforts. The tax collector exposed himself. And he was very open, very vulnerable. And he just said, God, have mercy upon me. So the Prince of Preachers said, the Pharisees of Christ's days were blind as bats, but they said, we can see. And here in the story, God will lead the blind. He will lead them. He will guide them. And here's a man that gave me the inspiration for this preaching over 20 years ago. He says, to know the way of the Lord, one must be blind. It is terrible for those who just can see. You probably met people that give you they want to advise you. They feel they have the right answer for you, right where you are. They will come and they will tell you what to do. So he's speaking about that. Put it in another way, you are convinced that God will lead you, but you don't know how he will do it. You see, our interpreter there in Ukraine, she didn't know what to do. She had absolutely no idea how to solve the problem. She didn't know. She just heard a small whisper in her ears, go to that place and do something. And by miracles after miracles, God provided. But she didn't have a clue of how God would do it. For 10 years, she saw a vision, a clear vision, that in Bodra there would be a big, big revival. She saw a big, big hall. I've been there in the hall. It is holding about 500 people, 500 seats. She saw a big revival taking place in that place. How in the world is that going to happen? She still doesn't know. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it will happen.
Yes.
You see, you have to be blind. You cannot depend on your own ways to put up a revival. Mm-hmm. It will never happen. You might have people that say, well, we'll try this and this. All these things are good. But God normally works in ways that we have really to be blind to, because God, we have to depend totally on God. I hope you get the picture.
Yes.
So, this last October, we had a church meeting in Denmark, and I told the church, because of the prices of gas was rising at that time, it was the highest, and in 23 our budget would rise from, let's say, from £4,000 to £15,000 just for the gas. Now, what do you do? I said to the church, I don't know how we're going to solve this. I mean, but of course now the prices have gone down and all these things there. But at that time, I knew that God was in control, but I didn't know how he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. So, another church, which has never happened in the church history, in the 40 years that I've been there, another church gave us money. They said this, and there was people from outside that sent money to the church, which has never ever happened before. So you can't figure out how God will provide. You are forced to surrender. You are forced to seek the Lord. Lord, how will you do this? You're totally blind to how he will solve the problem. But he will solve the problem. You cannot calculate God's solution, but you can trust that he will guide you through. So now, I'm just taking this and ending up with a story from Joseph, which I found very, very interesting, according to being blind to God's ways. We probably all, most of us, here familiar with the story of Joseph. But Joseph, he received a dream, he received several dreams when he was a young boy, about 16 to 17 years, and he had all these dreams, and one day his family will come and they will bow down before him. And of course he told the story, and he didn't know how God would do it. He had no, but he believed that God someday would put this dream through. The other thing is about Joseph's brothers. Joseph's brothers, they neglected Joseph. They neglected the dream. They could not see how God would intervene in their life. They tried to make their own ways. They tried to hide. They took Joseph and they tried nearly to kill him, but somewhere or another he was released. So the brothers, they lied to the father that they actually what they did to Joseph. So the brothers, they had something, they were totally dark to the future. Their conscience were, when you read the story in Genesis, you realize that they were into totally darkness. They could not see that God was dealing with them. They could not see it. And at the same time, Joseph went to Egypt, went to Pharaoh, he was arrested, he was accused, and so on, and he went to prison, and for 13 years, he was dreaming about the day that God will intervene. He knew God would do it, but he could not see how he would do it. It's an amazing story. But one day, when Joseph, he was in the deepest cellar in 2 years, one day he was called because he had previously, 2 years before, he had told the dreams of the baker and the cup. I forgot the words.
Cupbearer,
yeah. So he had interpreted their dreams, but the cupbearer totally forgot about it. But one day when Pharaoh had a dream, he then remembered, okay. And Joseph was called out of the prison, and here he was. And he went up to Pharaoh, and he became the second highest person. And then his brothers and family, they came, and it's a long story, it's a very, very short here. They came because a famine came, which was prophesied in the dream, and they came one day to Pharaoh's house. And Joseph met them. It's an astonishing story. And it was just when Joseph was going to show to his brothers who he was, and then he says this, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it's not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Certainly, his brothers could see how God has intervened. They had been totally blind. They could not see that God was in this. Joseph had seen that his dreams were coming through now. He had seen it. He had believed it all the years, but now he could see that they were coming through. What a story. And you see, the brothers, they had a bad conscience for all these years. they lived in darkness. They could not see how God has a plan for them. You see here, God had a plan for the whole of Israel to save them. They never saw a thing of it until that day. Their sight started to reopen, and they were started to see how God would intervene. And another thing about Joseph, even if they met Joseph, they were there, Joseph loved them, he hugged them, and so on. But when their father died, they still had a kind of darkness over their life.
Mm-hmm.
They could not comprehend that they were forgiven, that Joseph had forgiven them totally. They still had this blindness in their eyes that they were not totally forgiven. So that's why we read in the last chapter of Genesis that Joseph's brother, when they saw their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph hold a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" You see, they couldn't take on the forgiveness. So it just shows you that the blindness can take years to kind of recover. You must be blind to see. And if you're not blind, you start to take credit for what God can do in your life. You start to say, "Well, see what I did." But you have to be blind, and you have to be kept blind. Everyone here would like to know, well, how do we get a new building? Some of you might have the solution, but we have to be blind often for the solutions. God will do it,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how. So, in last year, we went to another church in October, and there was a man there prophesying, and he prophesied to me and the church. He said, "The local government will come to your church to see how you do things." That's a quite interesting prophecy, isn't it? So normally when I hear this, I put them on the prophetic shelf, and I say, "How in the world is this going to happen? I can't see ever how this is going to happen." Just to give you an example. But in January, we started to give free food, especially for Ukraine refugees living in Kosovo. We have about 100 to 200 from Ukraine living in our town. And we started to give them a free dinner. And we did that, we do that every month. And then we have one in our church. He called somebody from the local committee, "Come and see." So now we have had two people from the local committee coming to these events.
Mm-hmm.
And they also thought it was wonderful. Well, the prophecy has started mm-hmm. to come into, but it has not been fulfilled yet. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I can see now, just a little bit of how he will do it. So, If you're not blind, no, yeah. So I'm going to end up with this. Only the ones who wear the mantle of humility will be able to recognize what is happening. You have to be humble. You have to seek God. You have to see how He will open up the doors. You have to see how He will provide for your life. You have to see how you should take the next step. All this, you have to be blind to see. So the last thing, do you want to participate?